We're in the book of Ephesians, the second half of chapter 1 now. And, yeah, Barb thinks somebody, that's Glenn's job or somebody's job. Is it? Yeah, help them figure out. There you go. Shh. Okay. Last week we looked at Matt, can you turn this down a hair? I turned it up last week or something, but it's a little much for us. Last week we talked about what God is doing. God is at work in our lives, right? And that he is a God of blessing who blesses us in heavenly realms, and he's a God of grace who wants us to make it. He bends down, right? He's bending down trying to, you know, come on, I want you to be there, you know, I want you to make it. And I've talked about all the work of Christ that he's done for us and all the things that God has planned for us. One of the aspects of being a Christian is understanding God and being able to think along with God, to be able to kind of see the world as God sees it, to handle life in a way that God, you know, is with you in it and helps you to understand it. A lot of people, you know, who go to church don't necessarily, know God and know how to follow him. It's really important for us to grow in our understanding of who God is, to grow in our understanding of what God is looking for in our lives. And you know, in knowing God, we kind of learn the difference between what is of God and what isn't of God, right? So we're, you know, going to move towards, you know, Paul talking to them about, you know, one, knowing the power of what God's doing, but also the idea of knowing God. The more we know God, the better off we're going to be. So what is it to know God, right? Let's see, I got to do that. There we go. So this is verse 15. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." One of the aspects, again, Paul has already talked about the work of God, the work that God is doing in people's lives, how he's called them, predestined them, and he's given Christ as our sacrifice. And so, you know, he's already kind of given the idea that these people know God. They've heard the gospel. They've responded to the gospel. God's given them the Holy Spirit. And so there's evidence now that they have received God, that they've received the gospel, and that gives them a lot of joy. And one of the things that I think every one of us who loves Jesus Christ and every one of us that has the gospel, you know, there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody else having that light go on in their head, having that change in their heart where, you know, they too begin to understand. They too have opened up. Oh, I see, you know. I remember, you know, before I was a Christian, there was a young man that was witnessing to me. And you know, I read the Bible and I talked about the Bible with him and stuff. But I didn't get it. I mean, I know now, and I knew soon after, that I didn't get it. I wasn't living it out. It hadn't penetrated my heart, but I believed in it, but I didn't get it, right? And as soon as Christ became real in my life, me and this buddy, we became inseparable for about a year. We talked about God all the time. We were just so excited. And he was excited to see what God was doing in my life, right? And so we all of a sudden, just right away, we had this fellowship, this common bond. And that's what Paul's talking about. He says, you know, he's seen this church that the lights have come on. You know, they know who God is. They know the power of salvation. They have the Holy Spirit in their lives. And he says, you know, ever since, you know, I heard about what's going on in your lives, I haven't stopped giving thanks to God. It's awesome to watch God work in people's lives, to see them, you know, start to do the things that are pleasing to God, to have loving action, to care, you know, for others. And, you know, one of the probably striking things as a pastor that you see is people that go through really hard times. I mean, I've known people that have, you know, watched very close people die. I've watched people, you know, go through sicknesses and financial troubles and all kinds of stresses and strains in life. And sometimes you just wonder, you know, how you know, would you hold up if you were in that same circumstance? And to watch somebody hold to their faith going through, you know, trials and troubles and the things that life can throw up, it's an awesome thing to watch that. And again, it kind of gives you that sense of joy just knowing people that have walked with God, loved God, and held to God, you know, throughout life. So he starts off by talking about giving thanks and remembering the church and the, you know, in his prayers. One of the other things that, you know, we do, and we do, you know, is I try to get to know people, try to know your face, and I try to get to know your names. And when I pray, you know, I try to remember. And sometimes I go row by row in the church, and, you know, guys in the back, I probably, no, I'm just, but, you know, but you go, you know, you pray for people. You want them to grow. You want them to know God. You want to see God's fruit developing in their lives, in their hearts, right? And that's what Paul's talking about, this relationship with God in knowing him. And these people have just, you know, they're new in Christ. They've just kind of, you know, been awakened to that. And then what he says, though, he says, I pray and I remember you in my prayers. He says, I keep asking. This is what, think about this. I love this as a prayer. There's a couple of prayers in Ephesians that are awesome prayers. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That is a real awesome prayer. The idea of, you know, what I want, you know, for you, and you think about, think about the things we pray about. You know, most of it has to do with, you know, the trouble of the day, you know, the problems, the stresses, the questions that I don't have answers for, right? But here, Paul's saying, when I think about you, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, first of all, there's an acknowledgement, and I'm praying that God will give you this, that there's a gift in it. It's not something, you know, I mean, it's sad to say, I've known guys that went to seminary, they studied the Bible, they studied the languages, they studied the theology, but at the end of the day, they didn't really know God, you know? They really didn't know him because God hadn't given them that gift to get it, right? So, Bible study and that kind of stuff, it only helps if God's given you the gift, if God's given you a gift. So Paul says, you know, one of the things I'm praying is that God will give you a gift. They'll give you a power to open up your mind and your heart to understand who he is, right? And one of the good things about that is if your heart's been open to God, if you know God, if you're searching God out and you're expanding in that understanding, right? That means God has given you that gift. It's not something that people have by nature, right? You know, what do we have by nature? We're sinners, right? We're messed up. We'll see that in chapter 2. But yeah, it's like, you know, we're following our own inclinations and stuff. But when God opens up our hearts and minds to understand him, to know him better, right? That's a gift from God. It's sweet. It's wonderful. And it's like, you know, the lights turn on, right? I remember, again, going back to my, you know, birth in Christ. I'd read the Bible before, and I liked reading the Bible, but after I understood, you know, more about God and my heart was really open to him, I couldn't put it down. I read it, you know, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. I kept reading and reading. When I went to Bible college after a few years of reading, just reading and reading, I told guys, I said, you can point to any text and I'll tell you what comes before and after it, right? And they, oh, no way. And so they tried me about three different texts, and I knew every one of them, you know, because the Word of God just became so like food to me. I just wanted to be with it. Well, again, gift of God. God just, bam, opened my heart to understand him. If God's doing that in your life, man, you got to know that there's something real special going on in you, right? And Paul is seeing that in this church in Ephesus. You know, and I love to see it in you. I love to see it, you know, when people are coming and asking for prayer and asking for God's grace and seeking God, right? That's a sign. I mean, who does that unless you believe in God, unless your eyes have been opened to God, right? So it's exciting to watch that. But Paul also acknowledges that even though they had God and even though they had the Holy Spirit and they were, you know, already showing signs of the fruit and whatever, he says that I want you to know him better. I want you to know him better. That is such a great, you know, idea. The word epignosis, which I wrote up there and pinned there, but epignosis is gnosis, knowledge, Gnostic knowledge, right? Epignosis is kind of a, it's not perfect knowledge, but it's the A student knowledge. I know you better than, you know what I'm saying, I did, so to speak. And you think about what Paul's saying. He's saying, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, that you'll be able to understand him. And I want that understanding to just keep growing. You know how much there is to know about God? You imagine, you know, there's no end to that, right? That is a search that goes on until the day, you know, we get to meet him face to face, right? Because, and so Paul's praying for the church. He says, I want you to understand him more and more. I want your knowledge to be ever increasing. I want you to see him more clearly every day. This is a prayer that I'm asking, you know, do we pray that? I do, because I've read Ephesians, and I know there's certain things that, you know, God has given us that are really good prayers. But to pray that you would know God, to pray that your mind would be more understanding of who God is and less understanding about, you know, what people say and what people hold is true over what God says is true. What people say versus what God says, what people seek after versus what God wants us to seek after. God's perspective on the world instead of, you know, our own perspective of the world. You know, so we pray for each other. We should be praying for each other. You know, one of the things that will help us do better, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, from you know, up here to all the way back there, to wherever we are. If we know God better, it should help us to be better. It should help us to think better, to walk better, to you know, understand what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. To be able to endure kind of the hardness of this world better. To endure the wonderful things of this world in a way that pleases God, right? That no matter what we would in contact in this life and in this world, that as we're in God, as we know God more and more and more, we're able to take it all in stride and take it in his terms rather than trying to, you know, negotiate our own terms, right? Yeah. It says, I pray also that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There's two things that Paul is praying for them, you know, as far as wisdom and knowledge. And this is really important that we understand, or we begin to understand the world from God's perspective. We too often, in too many sermons, and too many churches, and too many preachers are talking about, you know, earthly stuff. In other words, God's stuff on our terms. And we really need to understand that it's more about God's terms and God's perspective on things rather than our perspective. We don't need to try to conform God to our will. We need to conform our will to God. We don't need to you know, make a God that does things that God isn't interested in doing. That's idolatry, right? So when Paul's talking about this understanding, this wisdom of God, he's talking about the idea of understanding. What is God calling us to? We look, you know, again, God's blessing to us. That word is such a powerful covenant word. The promises that God gave, you know, throughout human history. The promise of a land. The promise of his protection. The promise of a great name. The promise of a Savior in Jesus Christ, ultimately. The promise of the kingdom of heaven. These are the things that God has prepared for us, and he is working in us to make us be ready. Remember, we said, you know, by his blessing, he's making us holy and blameless. He's making us ready to be able to stand in his presence, to be able, by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, to become his children and to live with him forever. That's the work that God is engaged in. That's his perspective, is how are you doing in that? How, you know, that means more than your bank account. It means more than your car. It means more than anything else you have in this world. How are you doing? How is your life doing in what God has called you towards? God has called us towards this glorious, awesome inheritance. He's called us towards a holy, blameless life with Christ in Him forever. He's called us to that paradise of the kingdom of heaven. And that's where God's, you know, mind is. That's where God is thinking when He looks at us. Are we ready? Are we getting prepared? Are we taking everything that God has given us to walk that walk and to be that person? He chose us. He graciously, you know, stooping down because He wants us to make it, right? He wants us to be there. He cares about you. He loves us. And He loves us in eternity. Not just today, not just about the problems that we see, not our perspective, but He loves us into eternity. He wants to take care of the really big things, you know, before even worrying about the small things. The really big things is who I am. The really big things is where am I headed. The really big things is how am I governing my heart and my life, and how do I live before God? How do I live before others, right? Those are the big things. The little things that tend to keep us up at night and worry us and those kinds of things, you know, it's not that they're not important to God, but in 100 years, folks, really, what will they matter, right? So the first thing that Paul says is, I want you to understand God's perspective. I want you to understand the kingdom of God. I want you to understand all that God has laid before you so that you can make it because God wants you to make it. The second part of it is that He also wants us to know the great power that is in Jesus Christ. There is absolute great power in Jesus Christ. Now that is, you know, I think, you know, again, my coming to life in Christ, that was the part that was missing. I didn't know any power in Jesus Christ. I didn't know, the power of the Spirit, the power of God's grace, the power to transform, to make a difference in who I am in the way that, you know, I came to later. But His power is able to carry us through this world. See, when we think about, and I'm going to turn this in just a second, we're going to look at the last bit of the verses. But when you think about, you know, what is the power of God doing in your life? What is the power of God? How is the power of Christ working in you? How is it affecting your, you know, plans, your thoughts about what's important, your destiny, right? Part of it is about the kingdom of God. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about. But in the meantime, we're in the desert, right? In the meantime, we're walking through a wilderness where we're trying to get, you know, from the world to the kingdom of heaven, and we're going through that desert land, and it's not easy to make it. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of pains and struggles and difficulties. And there's some joys and some successes in the middle of it too, right? And any of them can mess us up along the way. Just he talked about the power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. The power of God, understanding. If you look at that text and you look at what he's talking about victory in the heavenly realm, the victory of Jesus Christ over all things. Jesus Christ, when He came and He lived among us and He became one of us and He suffered and died on that cross and rose again from the dead and was seated in heavenly authority. Scripture says that He filled every realm that there was. From the bottom, you know, of hell to the height of heaven, there is not a place where the authority and power of Christ, it doesn't mean something, right? Okay? You know, like you think about leaders, you know, President Obama, he's got authority only in the United States, All right. You name anybody else in the world with any kind of authority. They have very limited powers, very limited authorities. Jesus Christ has been set above all powers, all authorities, all names. Right. Why? For us. Now, this is the thing, is that, you know, again, the eternal destiny is so that we can make it into the kingdom of heaven, so that we can stand there with Almighty Father, so that we can be His children. He died and rose and filled all those realms so that nobody would have anything counter to say to what He's doing. He's making us children of God. He's getting us to the kingdom of God. He's given us the inheritance of the kingdom of God. He's made it possible. He's made the way for us to be there. But it also, in the meantime, think about what it means to have the power and authority in all realms while we go through whatever it is we're going through today. Right? Now, I tell you, you know, you look again, the example is this. Look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus came, he put on flesh, and he walked in the world, and everything was just peachy for him every day, right? Because that's the way God wants it, isn't it? God just wants you to skip through life and never a problem, never a care. Well, that's not what happened to our Lord Jesus, to the one who was the first fruit. He's the first brother. He's the first one to go there. Why would we think that our route's going to be different than His? He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? His way was not easy. His way was antagonistic to the world, right? But whatever came to Him, whatever struggle there was that came against Him, right? He had a power to endure. He had a power to go through. He had an answer for the temptation and the trial. He had an answer for the scoffer. He had an answer for the doubter. He had an answer for those who were looking for help. He had an answer for everything. And He still is the answer for everything. Think about what it means to us to know Jesus Christ, to know God, to walk with God in a broken world. And it's kind of been my, you know, I'm saying that all the time these days. This world is just broken. It's just broken, you know? And I know it's a broken world, and I know that why it's a broken world. I was thinking about it the other day. I was listening to the Messiah, you know, the musical The Messiah, and I was thinking about the reign of Christ, and I'm like, oh, Lord, come. And then I thought about my grandson-to-be, Matthew. And I said, you know what? Not yet, Lord, because Matthew hasn't yet called on Jesus. And that's exactly what God is doing. God says, you know, just a little bit, you know, longer, because I have those who have yet to call on the name of Jesus. I have those who have yet to know me. And you know, so we've got to go through. We've got to live in the desert. We have to go through the struggles. But we have Almighty God with us. We have Jesus Christ, who has filled every realm and every power and every authority. He's there with us. We're not alone. We're not, you know, kicking the sand like the poor Israelites who only had Moses to follow. Moses had limited authority. We have Jesus Christ. We have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. We have one that Paul said, you know, he said, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels or demons, neither present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8. He just, you know, the idea of Christ being there. Christ being, you know, when good things happen, I have a Christ to call upon. And Lord, don't let me get proud. Don't let me get arrogant. Don't let me take this the wrong way, right? And when things are hard, you know, Lord, don't let this defeat me. Don't let this discourage me. Don't let this destroy me, right? And no matter what the world is throwing at us, no matter what, you know, comes to us in this life, we have a power and a strength in Jesus Christ to make it through. And folks, God's perspective, knowing God, is this. God wants us to make it. He wants us to have this power, not to become rich in this world, not to have an easy life in this world, but to have a Christ who will get us through from one end of the desert to the other end of the desert, to get us through this world and into the kingdom of heaven. The victory in the heavenlies, that's what Jesus gained for us. Jesus gained victories in the heavenlies, and that does have impact on my puny little life and on my silly little problems, the thing that keep me up at night, that make me worry more than I should. And I know it's foolish, and I know it's not, you know, what God wants, but I also know that God is patient and loving and gracious. And when I'm all bothered by all these little things and I bring them up to Jesus, I can feel the peace of God reign over my heart and over my soul. I feel the strength of God when I'm discouraged. I feel the love of God when I feel unloved, right? There is in Christ what we need to win this struggle to go through. It's an awesome thing to know God, to look at the world from His perspective. From His perspective, we're headed towards that gracious and most powerful inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. From His perspective, we need to get from point A to point Z. We got to go from the Alpha to the Omega. We got to get there, right? And from His perspective, He's given us a power and a strength that fills all heaven and earth and everything in between. Not to make it so that, you know, we own the earth, but to make it so we can get through the earth, so that we can still be His, so we can still be His children, still, you know, be what He wants us to be, and finish that course that He's given us to finish. Friends, if things have been rough, you know, don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you God doesn't love you. If things have been hard, don't let anybody tell you that's because you don't have faith or some silly thing like that. Yeah. The only thing we need to do in this world, and I mean when things are right, when things are good, when things are beautiful, and when things are hard, and they're wrong, and they're rotten, right? All of that, we bring it all to Christ. We bring it all to Christ because any of it can just derail us. Any of it can stop us from fulfilling God's plan if we listen to it or let it. But Christ, He has that power to sustain us. It's so good to know God. It's so good to walk with God, to be in relationship with God, so we don't get tripped up on the way, so we don't get lost, you know, in the wilderness. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table, and as we do, we should be giving thanks to our Savior who conquered hell all the way to heaven, who took power and authority in every realm for us so that we can make it, so that we can be with Him in the kingdom of heaven. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Thank you.
still help us every day. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to receive Christ into our hearts and lives more richly, to understand you more and more, and to live lives that show that we love and honor you. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we take it. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup and reminded them that it was the cup of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sin. The old covenant was, goats and bulls. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that he was talking about. That blood has power unlike anything else ever in the universe. Purify our hearts. Scripture says that God made us holy and blameless through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have faith in Christ, then this blood, the blood, the sacrifice of Christ, washes away your sins as though they never happened and never exist. So we treasure again the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift that he gave us on the cross. And Jesus, after he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink. And Paul furthermore says that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Amen. Amen.
Just a closer one. Gently, safely, all.
Father, help us indeed to walk closer, to know you better, to live with you every day, Almighty God, until we get to live with you forever, face to face. Help us, Almighty God, every step of the way. I pray for everyone in this house, Lord God, that you would bless and keep them, Lord. Let your light shine upon them. Let your grace be in them, Almighty God. Let your Spirit fill our hearts, oh God, with all the beautiful things that flow from you. Help us, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.